So Parshas Veschanan is a continuation of Parshas Dvarim, really. Moshe Rabbeinu continues with what was initially a rebuke, and then later is a reminder and an exhortation, and he's setting the table. He's about to serve the meal. And the meal, of course, is the restatement of the Torah, beginning with Aseres HaDibros. He's going to talk about the words they heard from Hashem at Mount Sinai. But after Moshe Rabbeinu goes through the importance of Torah and the importance of our mission, and as we learned yesterday, you know, how to forget anything, and when you come there, it's just, you're going to forget, and he warns us of the pitfalls of success. So in the third reading of Parshas Veschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden does something. Up until now, he's talking. Now all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu does something. And it's only a couple of verses. And that's what we're going to focus on. One could say that Moshe Rabbeinu seized the moment. And here you can find out what you should do. Chapter 4, verse 41. Oz Yavdil Moshe. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu separated. Shalosh Orim, three cities. Be'evet HaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan River, Mizracha Shomesh, in the easterly direction from where the sun rises. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says it doesn't say Az Hivdil, then Moshe did, past tense, as if saying something that happened, recounting this is what took place, but rather, which would be past tense, it says Az Yavdil, then he will. So Rashi explains, since we talked about the laws, the halachas of the city of refuge, we just talked about that. So at this point, Nosan Lev Lihi Eschored Ledover. Moshe Rabbeinu now set his heart to being very committed. The word chored literally can mean to tremble, but to be very concerned. That's what people call charedim. The name charedim is a nice name, actually. It just has a bad rap in today's day and age. It means somebody who's very careful about Yiddishkeit. That's really what it means. So somebody who takes everything of Yiddishkeit very seriously, takes it all really to heart. And that's what Moshe. So Moshe would be the first charedi. What was he a charedi about? What was he chared about? He was chared about these cities of refuge. Sheyavdilem, that he set them aside. And this is, of course, prior to the Jewish people going into Eretz Yisrael. Ba'afalpi, and even though she'enon koiltois, that these three cities did not go into effect and are not able to absorb the would-be accidental murderer protecting him. Ad she'ibodloison shel Eretz Kanan, until the three cities of Eretz Kanan will be separated as well. Nonetheless, Omar Meshe Rabbeinu said, mitzvah she'efshel lekaima, a mitzvah that I can fulfill, I will fulfill it. Because it's beautiful to fulfill a mitzvah, even if it doesn't ultimately fulfill its ultimate purpose, even if it doesn't serve its ultimate end goal, but at least I can still fulfill the mitzvah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, whatever I can fulfill, I will fulfill. So let's be clear. There are six cities of refuge. The six cities of refuge do not go live. They do not begin to go into effect until all six are designated. All six are set aside. Yet we can't set the other three aside because they're in Israel proper. Moshe Rabbeinu himself will never be in Israel proper. He's only in Eved HaYarden. He's only the other side of the Jordan River. So he's doing his best. And yet, even though it will not go into effect, Moshe Rabbeinu said, whatever I can do, I must and will do. He sees the moment. Where was this? Be'eved HaYarden, Mizrach HaShomesh. Because, of course, there are two sides of the Jordan River. He has to explain which side. The other side. Which side? Depends where you're standing. Well, it could always be the other side. So Rashi says, but you say, Eved, on the side, Shab Mizrach Shal Yardim, which is the easterly side of the Jordan River, where the sun rises. Mizrach HaShomesh. Excuse me. Lefi Shehi, thank you. Lefi Shatevas Mizrach. Because the word Mizrach is Davuk, meaning it's connected. It's not Mizrach Shomesh, but it's Mizrach Shomesh. You read it together as one word. So that's why the vowelation changes here. Nekuda Reish, the Chataf. The Reish is vowelized here with the Chataf. Even Chataf is Rashi's terminology for a Shva, for like a silent letter. Mizrach Shal Shomesh, the east side of the sun. In other words, Mekayim Zrichas HaShomesh, the place where the sun rises from. And everybody knows the sun rises in the east. So now we know exactly what we're talking about. So this is how Rashi explains the idea of Oz Yavdil Moshe. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu separated these three cities.
Didn't he do that in Bamidbar?
Moshe Rabbeinu in Chumash Devarim is recounting what he did.
But it says Oz Yavdil. So it makes it sound like even...
Oz Yavdil, actually, Ramban says, was at this time. He really didn't do it before. Was at this time. Now, as he's giving the sermon, as he's speaking to the people, as he's giving them exhortation, as he's telling them about the future, right now, when he's telling them about keeping Hashem's words, he says you should keep chukov or mitzvaysov, keep Hashem's statutes, keep Hashem's mitzvahs. As he's saying those words, he said, ah, after the kaima mitzvah, I'm talking about doing mitzvahs, I myself will do the mitzvah now. And this is the mitzvah that Hashem has commanded me, that we should separate these three cities in Eved HaYarden. According to the Sefarno and according to the Beinu Bachaya, after he finished the preface to the explanation of the Torah, which is going to be, of course, the Aseres HaDibris, so Moshe Rabbeinu separates the cities to show the Jewish people that it's not how to talk, that you have to follow talking with action. So this is part of the lesson. Part of the lesson is not just giving the lesson, part of the lesson is demonstrating the lesson. Showing the people, we don't just talk about it, but we have an opportunity, we actually do it.
How did he know where the cities were?
How did who know where the cities were? He decided where the cities were.
They weren't even in the country yet. How would he
should know? Were in the country.
They didn't cross over the Yarden.
This is not the other side of the Yarden. No, this is the easterly side.
Three of them are supposed to be on the other side. They
Takid Moshe doesn't know where those cities are.
So how could he Yavdil them when he didn't know?
He Yavdil the cities on the eastern side of the Jordan River, where he was.
Okay.
That's the point. Rabbeinu Meyucha says, why do we kind of lump this together? In the middle of hearing about Moshe Rabbeinu arranging his words and preparing for the restatement of the Torah, which is now going to happen right after this reading, in the fourth reading of Parshas Veschanan, we actually talk about Aseres HaDibros. So why? How does this like fall right in the middle? So he says the Torah arranged it in the same segment. In one, it's like one continuum, a few verses that are separated from one long continuum. And it's to teach you zirizusei shel Moshe, the alacrity of Moshe, that he sees the moment. Alacrity means to seize, to chaparein, do what you have to do exactly when you can.
But what is he doing here? Is he just verbalizing? These are going to be the Arabic left?
Excellent question. Hold this thought. What is he actually doing? Okay, we're going to talk about that soon. Now, if the mitzvah wasn't accomplished, so what is the point? The Kli Yakar says he wanted to demonstrate to the Jewish people that even if sometimes you have a mitzvah to do, and the effects will not come about in your lifetime, and this mitzvah will only be meaningful for your children, it's still the right thing to do, even though it's not going to happen for you. That's the meaning of doing a mitzvah. So you do something, you'll never see the fruits. You'll never see a reach maturation. Nonetheless, it's meaningful.
Is this a mitzvah for us in our day?
Mm-hmm. Is it a mitzvah for us to celebrate, to separate the Ari Miklat? No, it's not a mitzvah for us. But there are all kinds of mitzvahs for us that we say, why do it today when I could do it tomorrow? Especially since it's not going to be relevant anyway. I don't need it tomorrow. I need it next week, next month, maybe next year. Why do it now? And the lesson of Moshe Rabbeinu is because you can.
But what I'm asking more fundamentally, is this just a one-time mitzvah? Or is there some permanence of mitzvah that's connected to
the Ari Miklat was separated once. Only once in history. Those cities were Ari Miklat for many, many centuries. Those cities will be Ari Miklat and Mashiach will come.
And it's a mitzvah?
It's a mitzvah. This mitzvah will only be fully fulfilled when Mashiach comes, because in total there are supposed to be 9 Ari Miklat. And 9 Ari Miklat are in the three lands of Keni, Knizi, Kadmoini, or Amon and Moav, from whom we never got the land yet. So the nations of Amon and Moav that went and they went to the children of Lot, and they went to Har Seir, that went to the children of Esav, will become ours when Mashiach will come. And when Mashiach will come and those lands will become ours, then Mashiach will separate the last of the three cities. And then there'll be a set of nine, a full set of nine, and then this mitzvah will be fully fulfilled. But up until this point, this mitzvah was fulfilled initially by Moshe Rabbeinu. The mitzvah was completed for the time being by Yehoshua, that went into motion, it became live, so to speak. Subsequently, the Jewish people had a mitzvah of maintaining these cities, as we'll soon see what the details are, what has to be maintained, including an intricate system of transportation, roads that make it easy to get there. And when Mashiach will come, the mitzvah will be completed. Ah, excellent question. Why do we need them when Mashiach comes? That's not for today.
Why not seize the moment?
Because we're doing something already. So let's just talk a little bit about the cities. Now we're going to come back to this business of what exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu accomplish. Verse 42. Lanus Sham Aretzeach is that place that Aretzeach will flee to. Asher Yirzach, who might murder Esreyeu, his companion, his neighbor, Bevli Das, he does it unintentionally. He doesn't hate him. He doesn't have any reason we should think that this is premeditated. He doesn't hate him, Mitmel Shulshim. It's no old grudge from yesterday or the day before. But Nos, and that person will run Alachas Haharim to one of those cities, Ha'el V'choy, and he'll live. So there's a number of different things that are going on over here. First of all, it says he'll run to one of those cities and he'll live. And then it says it again, he'll run to one of those cities. Pasuk Mem Beis begins, Lanus Shamar Ritzeach Asher Yirzach. And then it says at the end of the Pasuk, V'nos Alachas Min Ha'orim Ha'el V'choy. So why does it have to say twice that he runs away? It says it twice in the same Pasuk. Why repeat yourself in the same verse, same sentence twice? So the Siv Sekoinim, or Shach, as he's known, Alateda, explains that the Ari Miklat have to be made in a way that people can live, people can survive. So what do you need for Ari Miklat to have to survive? So the Shach Alateda quotes the Gemara in Makkos in the beginning of the second chapter, who says that we have to choose cities that are not too small and not too large. Because if the cities are too small, then they will not be able to have the infrastructure to handle the murders. People will starve. They're going to come there, but it won't be v'choy, because the city will be overwhelmed by too much of the population. On the other hand, if it's an enormous city, where you don't know who's who, so then the goyel hadam can easily slip himself into the city. He won't be noticeable. And then once he's in the city, he can go and eliminate the murder, would be murder, and nobody would know the difference. Big cities always have murders in them. That's the reality. Tragic reality, but it's a fact. The little shtetlach, little cities, a murder happens like once in a blue moon, and it's a huge deal when it happens, and everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows everything that's going on. So we have to have a city that it's amenable to life. But not just amenable to life for Ritzeach. Amenable to life, a little city can survive just fine, but it doesn't generally get overwhelmed with population. People just not moving to a small town. People only move there for a reason, and it comes in a calibrated way. Over here, if there's going to be all of a sudden an infusion of people who killed accidentally, it could collapse the whole city. Or if it's a very large city where murders happen all the time, this person could be eliminated, nobody will even know the difference. So that's what the Siv Sekoinim says. The Teferes Tzion says that there are two distinctly different murders who are being talked about over here. One is a murderer who has somebody after. And if he doesn't go to the city of refuge, he's going to be killed. Because the Goyal Adam, the redeemer of his closest kin, is going to come after. So he's got to run there, and he's got to find protection. What happens if there is no Goyal Adam? You kill the person who's all alone in the world. So I'm not worried. Nobody is going to redeem his blood. You still have to go there. Why? There will be a kapara. So the first case, he says, Lonos Shamar Itzeach. He has to run away there. He has to exile himself. Why? That's the kapara. In the second case, he says, "V'nos alachas min ha'arim ha'el." He'll run to one of these cities. V'choy, he's got to run for his life. So the Torah is talking about both possibilities, both eventualities, and that's why the Torah seems, on the surface, to repeat itself. And we go on to list the cities, which we don't know where they are today necessarily. Betzer in the Midbar, Beretz Hamisha l'Ruveni for the tribe of Reuven. Ramais in Gilad would be for Gadi, and Goylan would be Babashan l'Manashi. So these are the three cities that were separated: Betzer, Ramais, and Bashan. And that's really how the Torah concludes this business. Verse 44, V'zei satei Rashi asam v'yishlof nei b'nei Yisrael, a very famous verse. We say it every time a Torah is raised. According to Rashi, this is already going on to the next detail here. We're moving now into the recapitulation of Aseres HaDibros. The Tzreid Hamar maintains that this is the final pasuk of the story of separating the Ari Miklat. He says, Zei Satayra, this is the teaching of the Ari Miklat. What's the teaching? The teaching is, when a mitzvah comes your way, make sure you do it. According to the Tzreid Hamar, Zei Satayra, Asher Shal Meishel of Nebnei Yisrael, is, what's the Torah that Moshe set before the Jewish people? What's the teaching he set before them? When a mitzvah comes your way, seize it. That's what he set before the Jewish people. According to Rashi, that's not Zei Satayra. That's the example that Moshe set. It's a lesson. That's not a Torah. Torah is teaching. So therefore, according to Rashi, verse 44 already takes us into the next part, which is when Moshe is actively preparing the Jewish people for the restatement of Aseres HaDibros, where he recounts the details of Har Sinai and the Torah that the Jewish people heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from Moshe at that period, at that time. Okay, so you have now learned that Moshe Rabbeinu seized the moment and he separated those cities. Even those cities of refuge were not active until Yehoshua captured Eretz Canaan and separated the additional three cities. Until the other three cities were separated, this did not go into effect. And Rashi told us, mitzvah she'efsha l'kaima, a mitzvah that can be fulfilled, kiyum ha-mitzvah is fulfillment of a mitzvah that can be fulfilled, should be fulfilled. Page Nun Vav. Simen Ches, the Inyan Zeh, with regard to this business of Moshe Rabbeinu separating the cities of refuge, even though they were not able to serve or function in a practical manner. Yeshna Hevdo ben Lashon Rashi l'Lashonei Shal HaRambam. There is a profound distinction, albeit subtle, but a profound distinction between the language, the syntax employed by Rashi and the syntax employed by the Rambam. What's the difference? Now the Rambam, in the laws of Ritzeach and Shmiras Nefesh, in the 8th chapter, says about Moshe Rabbeinu's activities here the following. Hayil u'mitzvah, uba mitzvah liyadi. Moshe Rabbeinu said, since a mitzvah has come to my hand, akaymena, I'll fulfill it. Since a mitzvah has come to hand, I'll do it. Rashi doesn't say a mitzvah has come to hand. Rashi says mitzvah she'efsha l'kaima, a mitzvah which can be fulfilled. Why did Rashi and Rambam use different syntax? So on the surface, we'll say, well, that's just language. That's the nature of everybody writes in their way. Rashi wrote it his way, Rambam wrote it his way. So Rashi wrote it efsha l'kaima, and Rambam wrote it bo liyadi. Rashi said able to be fulfilled. Rambam said it's a mitzvah at hand. But the Rebbe saw something much, much more profound here. He said, no, this seeming subtlety actually has a huge impact, a big difference on the way each learns Pshat. And he explains. Habitui, the expression, the Maimonidean expression, Hoyulubo mitzvah liyodi, since the mitzvah came to my hand, emphasis on my hand, the mitzvah has come to hand. It's a mitzvah that's in hand. So that mitzvah is misyaches. It refers l'kiyum ha-mitzvah minikudas ma'botai shel ha'odom. It refers to the mitzvah from the vantage point of a person who is going to do something. This is called, in the parlance of Jewish jurisprudence, of lamdas, this is called the gavra. The gavra means the person, the subject who is involved. And sometimes we speak to the subject, there's an activity that's expected of him, and sometimes we speak about the object. It's not about your doing, it's about the objective reality. So sometimes it's something that we need to do. It's a din, it's a ruling, it's a teaching about a person. The Torah is instructing a person. And sometimes the Torah is talking to us about a reality, an objective reality. Here is an example, which is not perfect because there's a machlekes, there's a dispute whether this is actually so. And it seems the Alter Rebbe does not actually hold of this approach. But there is a discussion in Achreinim about a distinction drawn between a biblical mitzvah and a rabbinic mitzvah. And the difference would be that a biblical mitzvah is talking about the object. So, for example, if something is biblically not kosher, then that is objectively not kosher. Torah says this is bad, this is off limits. If the rabbi said you shouldn't eat it, it's not objectively wrong. It's something that's wrong for you, something you shouldn't do. Now, the Alter Rebbe does not agree with this, and the Rebbe once explained this in a very, very long and sophisticated series of sichas, that the Alter Rebbe holds that when the Chachamim make something aser, it becomes aser too. But let's use an example that everybody can appreciate. We read a few weeks ago in the Parsha about the Nazir. We read about Nidarim, about vows. So the Nazir is not allowed to eat or drink wine. A Neder, a vow that's made, I'm not going to eat or drink or do something. So when we have on the table a plate of pork or a cheeseburger, and somebody says to a Yid, have lunch. He says, I can't. Why not? Because that's not kosher. But if a Nazir is sitting at the table and said, have a glass of wine. He says, I can't. And you say, why not? He says, because I'm a Nazir. It's not about the wine, because everybody else could drink the wine. I can't drink the wine. You understand? That's talking to the gavra. That's talking to the person. That's talking to the subject. Whereas the pork or cheeseburgers is talking to
everybody.
The object. It's not just everybody. It's more than just everybody. It's the object we're talking about. It's not kosher, whereas you're not able to do this. So the Rebbe is taking this idea. This is a famous concept within Lamdas, within Jewish jurisprudence. This was promulgated largely by Reb Chaim of Brisk, his methodology of analysis. Reb Shimon Shkup developed it in another way. And the Rebbe oftentimes uses this mechanism. So he says, we can understand the difference between the Rambam and Rashi, that the Rambam sees this mitzvah as a chayvas gavra. The obligation of this mitzvah speaks to the gavra, speaks to the person. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I should do this. It's about me doing this. It would be the right thing for me to do. It's not objectively the right thing to do. Why? Because there is no halacha about this, these cities. And these cities are not going to become Ari Miklat. The mitzvah will not be fulfilled. When we say, however, we use Rashi's syntax, we say mitzvah she'efshar l'kaima, a mitzvah which can be fulfilled. It's not just of me fulfilling it. It's a mitzvah which can be fulfilled. The mitzvah will be fulfilled. In other words, the action taken will be a mitzvah action. And the impact will be a mitzvah impact, which is talking about the cheftza, which is talking about the object rather than the subject. All right, let's relate this to b'inyaneinu. Well, what does this mean practically? L'shitas ha-Rambam, according to the approach of the Rambam, me'achash ha-ori ha-miklat sh'be'ever ha-yardin, since the ori miklat in the other side of the yardin, einon koltes, they are not going to be able to absorb the people who accidentally murdered. They cannot function, in other words, because until the ones in Eretz Kanan are separated, harei havdolas ari miklat ayidei meisha, the havdolah, the separation of these cities of miklat through meisha, lehoisala mashma is hilchosis, does not have a halachic kind of meaning or importance. In other words, the city, when it's a ir miklat, that is, the city is halachically defined as something. It's a city which protects. So the would-be murderer, pardon me, the accidental murderer is able to escape from the would-be redeemer of the blood by being in the city. Should he leave the city, he exposes himself to danger. So that, in other words, the city has a halachic legal bearing. The practical thing of the city, what does the city do? The city functions in a manner it spreads a protective net over these accidental murderers. So that's a halacha. That's a halachic definition of a city, a halachic reality. And the halachic reality is created through havdalah, through separation, through making these cities distinct, making them apart, making these cities into Ari Miklat. That's what gives it its halachic definition. That's what gives it its halachic effect. But since the other cities have not yet been set aside, we don't have the other six. Havdalas Ir Miklat Meishala Haisala Shumashmais Halachasis. It doesn't have any practical bearing. So what was Moshe doing then? What did Moshe accomplish? No, his part, but didn't do anything. Nothing practical was done. What happened as a result of Moshe's actions? The cities were identified. So later, when Yehoshua would actually designate them, he didn't have to say, which city should we make? Oh, I know already. Moshe already designated. This, at best, is called hachana. It's called preparing for a mitzvah. It's called hachshara. You're making a ripe reality. You're creating the circumstances that will allow for a mitzvah to be fulfilled. Simple example. You built a sukkah, mazel tov, but then sukkahs came and you couldn't fulfill the mitzvah. You couldn't eat in the sukkah. Did you accomplish a mitzvah? Did you do the mitzvah of sukkah? You built a sukkah. It says tasalacha. You built a sukkah. Huh? Mitzvah, but it also says sukkah is tasalacha. It says make a sukkah. We understand that the building or fashioning or making of a sukkah is only a preparation for the actual mitzvah. If somebody makes himself a beautiful pair of tefillin and then he puts them on a shelf, and there they remain on the shelf, did you accomplish the mitzvah of tefillin? No. Why? Because there is no mitzvah that says you should make tefillin. Although, if you look in the Rambam's verbiage, Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam seems to say that working on making the tefillin is a part of the mitzvah. That's a unique Maimonidean shita. But in general, there's no such thing as a mitzvah. It says uksharta. Uksharta means you should fasten. So the mitzvah is to fasten tefillin. If you don't fasten the tefillin, you don't do the mitzvah. But I worked so hard. I spent months making this tefillin. That's very nice. What would we call that? A hechsher mitzvah. A preparing for a mitzvah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he did all the research. He got all the stats in. And he identified, he said, okay, Betzer, that's our place. This is the place. And then he did more research and he says, okay, Ramos. Ramos is going to be the city. And then he identified Golan. And he came to Yeshua and he says, Yeshua, my dear disciple, I figured it all out for you. This is the city you will make a refuge here for the Ruveni. This is the city you'll make for the Gadi. That's the city you'll make for the Menashe. Okay. Yeshua says, thank you, Rabbi. Now I know which cities I have to separate at the time when I will separate the cities and formally induct them into the special collection of six.
So if a person kills somebody accidentally, someone comes after him to avenge the murder, isn't he allowed to go after the guy who's coming to kill him?
He can defend himself. The would-be murderer somebody's trying to kill can defend himself.
He'd be like a Rodeh.
He would be like a Rodeh for him. Yeah. That's correct. Nobody else could save him. He could save himself.
So why does he have to run away?
You want to spend your whole life holding a Glock? Looking behind your back, over your shoulder? You know, I was in Brazil a couple of months ago. So the rabbi I was staying by told me that he goes to Miami twice a year, just to get away a little bit. And he said, people ask him, what do you do in Miami? He said, I walk in the streets that are looking over my shoulder. You know what happened in Brazil? It was in Rio. These three swimmers got mugged. He says, I just want to walk in the street looking over my shoulder. So you want to spend your whole life looking over your shoulder?
I'm not killing
you. You shouldn't ever kill Chas V'Shalom. I'm just saying, a person in that situation would have to spend his whole life worried that maybe the Goyel Adam is coming. He doesn't want it. So since the Rambam holds that there's no practical implication from separating the cities, so what is the Rambam syntax then? Therefore, the Rambam says, mitzvah, it doesn't say mitzvah she'efshel l'kayma. L'kaye means to fulfill. How can he say fulfill a mitzvah? You're not fulfilling a mitzvah. Fulfilling a mitzvah means to do something. You didn't fulfill anything. What did you do? At best, the Rambam could say, "Hayoluba mitzvah liyadi." A mitzvah came into hand, meaning I can do something towards that mitzvah. Okay, so akaymena. I'll fulfill whatever came into my hand. But what actually came to hand was only a heksher mitzvah, not a kiyum mitzvah. Big difference between a kiyum, fulfillment of a mitzvah, and a heksher mitzvah, which is preparation for a mitzvah. What came to Moshe Rabbeinu's hand? Heksher mitzvah. Rashi, however, clearly would have a different perspective. Rashi Lumazois, Rashi holds, Havdola Saramaide Mesha, Ochain Higdira Isam Kaore Miklat. According to Rashi, it did make it into an ear miklat. Ella, it's only that the Tchulachasa Shalagdarazu, in order for it to be the Bechalois, in order for it to officially take root, in order for it to officially now go into effect as a city of Ari Miklat, it has to go into effect when the other three are separated. So it is a city of refuge. According to Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu's designation did create a halachic reality. Only a halachic reality that's not right now po'il. It's not right now effective. So there's a difference between creating something that for whatever reason is not working right now, or not creating anything at all. So from the Rambam's perspective, he says, mitzvah b'liyodi. From Rashi's perspective, he did accomplish something, only that something wasn't fully effective yet. And amazingly, whether you follow the shita of Rashi, which is mitzvah, she'ef shalakaima, a mitzvah that can be fulfilled, even if it's a limited fulfillment. Or even if you go ahead and say, look at the Maimonidean perspective, the Rambam's perspective, and say, I do this, not only it doesn't go into effect, it's not even halachically impactful. It's but a hechsher mitzvah. Nonetheless, seize the moment. Moshe Rabbeinu seized the moment, and you should too. And that is the way we should fulfill mitzvahs, as the Tzvi Amar says, v'zoysa Torah. This is the Torah, this is the ultimate teaching, bequeathed to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. Never put off for tomorrow what you can do today, because a mitzvah, the attitude towards a mitzvah is, whatever I can do, I should do. Why? Because I can. Because I can. If I can, then I must. And as long as we do every single mitzvah and seize every single moment, then we are doing our job, and the rest is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. L'chaim.